The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this morning, where we are reviewing the doctrine of the United States and prophecy. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're indwelled with God the Holy Spirit, but we're not necessarily filled with God the Holy Spirit. The indwelling is assumed. There are no commands to be indwelled because upon our faith in Jesus Christ, this ministry of God the Holy Spirit occurs. However, we are commanded to be filled with the God the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians. If we're commanded to do something in the Scripture, we are then given the mechanics on how to do that. And the mechanics for the filling of God the Holy Spirit is 1 John 1:9, which we refer to as the rebound technique, where in our prayer confession by the believer, that means homologeo in the Greek, means name, sight, and acknowledge. You may feel sorry, you may not. That's not of issue. The issue is acknowledgement in regard to our sins. Then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 was written to believers, for believers, recognizing that as believers, we continue to engage in personal sin in the life. When we engage in sin in the life, we are under our sin nature, the rulership of our sin nature, the flesh, and we lose the filling of God the Holy Spirit. In that respect, we're out of fellowship, as we would say. To get back in fellowship, we apply 1 John 1:9. And this is all important, especially as we study the truth of Bible doctrine, that is God's Word, because God the Holy Spirit is the ultimate author of this book. This is not just some secular book of academia that one can go in under the energy of the flesh and figure out on their own. It demands a spiritual asset, a spiritual grace apparatus for perception. That apparatus is God the Holy Spirit and his filling role in this respect. So before every Bible class, it's our custom to give you opportunity to rebound if necessary so that we can, once again this morning, profit from the study at hand, not letting our sin nature get in the way otherwise in that respect. Remember the decorum of our assembly, no talking while I'm teaching. The evidence in regards to being in fellowship will be your undivided attention once again this morning with respect to the study at hand. So with that in mind, we'll start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. We ask once again this morning that you bless us as we continue to seek you, to know and understand your plan and have this boast, if you will, in regards to our life, that these things set before us will keep us oriented in the time in which we live, in time in regards to even the immense testing and pressure that is upon the human race as a whole, that we will stay in tune in regards to God's plan and stay the course otherwise in this respect. All this via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As you're aware, I've kind of broke the flow of a context in Genesis to review the doctrine of the United States and prophecy. Why not? It's not like anything's not going on in our world today in regard to our country. Obviously, we see the global crisis as it is so otherwise been set forth. And we must understand that these things that are occurring in the world today are not to be unexpected necessarily by the adjusted believer. And that is especially those living in our country, that the United States is actually mentioned in the Bible. It is part of the prophetic package that has been revealed in regards to major players that are setting the stage at the end times of the church age dispensation, that era of which we live, of the church, before the introduction of the Antichrist appearing upon this planet. And U.S. is a major player in this regards. In fact, its position established on a global basis is not to be diminutized one iota. The very conflict that is set before us is that we live in a country that was established on biblical principles, but based on prophecy recognizes that it does a 180 turn spiritually, and it forsakes its spiritual heritage, and it becomes so evil that the scripture says every unclean bird will actually reside in our nation, in our geographical perimeter. Every unclean bird recognizes all the demonic activity that one can expect living in our country. Now, there's other doctrine, obviously, that is to be inserted in regards to having an appreciation, a balanced regard to this particular doctrine, such as the rapture. Church-age believers are not destined to go into the tribulational period. We will be delivered. That ends our present dispensation and reverses back to the final 7 years of the age of Israel before us, and that is the time of the tribulation and great tribulation, the establishment of the Antichrist. However, obviously, we work and transition up to that point in time in history. When the Antichrist does appear, the stage is essentially set on this planet for him to step in and within a very short amount of time gain control over the world politically, economically, etc., to seeking to bring about the satanic agenda of establishing the Antichrist as a world ruler and worship of Satan in this respect. And so that means a lot of things are in place. That means, again, that people are predisposed to accept the lie of the Antichrist as he appears. And so these things that we see going on in our history are all working to this end. Now, the prophecies regarding the U.S. Are mentioned under two primary code names in the Old Testament and New Testament, and that is Babylon and Edom. In terms of prophecy, one must recognize that certain prophecies have dual fulfillment. That is, they are fulfilled both in a near context of time and history, but they are also fulfilled in a far-off or remote time in history. And how you're able to discern the difference is in regards to certain verses that reflect upon the prophecy of these entities that we're dealing with, Babylon and Edom, did not occur in regards to the historical entities of these nations, Edom and Babylon, in that respect. And therefore, these are clues to tell us that we're looking at a prophetic entity, far-reaching prophetic fulfillment in regards to the prophecies that are at hand. And the prophecy of Babylon is understood and assumed as not being fulfilled based on the prophecy of Babylon in the New Testament, and that is in the book of Revelation, specifically for the particular doctrine we're dealing with, political Babylon, in that respect, chapter 18. Now, what we're doing here in Roman numeral 2, page 1 of our notes, is we are looking at these major passages that deal with prophetic Babylon and prophetic Edom that would apply in regards to representing the United States in prophecy. And we're reading them. That's part of our decorum in regards to study the scriptures, is reading the scriptures to get a general overview in regards to what passages have to say. And then as we go through the doctrine, obviously we'll break it down more in detail to bring these things together and show you why the United States is the best candidate in order fulfilling the prophetic prophecies of the Babylon and Edom in view. We've already looked at and read Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah 21 verses 1 through 10, and chapter 34 we pick up this morning in Isaiah chapter 47. So we'll turn there. Historical Babylon under the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar was the instrument God used to disperse the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, in 586 BC. They ruled for a period of time, and then the Medes, the Medo-Persian Empire, came in and they conquered them. One thing we know about historical Babylon, that it has never been completely eradicated. It has maintained a presence and existence throughout history. And we also know in regards to the type of terrain, etc., which is located, which historical Babylon is in present-day Iraq, in that respect, in the middle of desert region. So there are certain things that we know in regards to historical Babylon that we will see, and we have seen already, verses that do not pertain or are not fulfilled in regard to historical Babylon. And it comes off at the very beginning here of Isaiah 47, one of these clues: come down and sit in the dust, as the prophet is commanded. This looks at a barren wasteland, the dust. In other words, Babylon prophetically here is going to be made desolate. This did not occur in regards to historical Babylon. So we are looking at a prophecy that has far fulfillment or remote fulfillment in regards to this this chapter. So, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground without a throne. Its empire or its sovereignty of existence as a nation has been removed. O daughter of the Chaldeans — Chaldeans are the Anglo-Saxons of the world — for you shall no longer be called tender and delicate. The queen, i.e. the other language, the queen that says nothing's going to happen to me. Verse 2, take the millstones and grind mill, remove your veil, strip off the skirt, uncover the leg, cross the rivers. Your nakedness will be uncovered. In other words, Babylon, prophetic Babylon, is going to be exposed for what it really is. Your shame also will be exposed. The shame is seen in regards to the evils, not only spiritually, but politically and otherwise, that the nation is involved in. I will take vengeance and will not spare a man. God is behind judgment upon nations. Nationalism is one of four divine institutions that God has established. In other words, we can call these institutions God-given rights upon mankind to pursue. Divine institution number one is free will, volition. God created humanity with the ability to choose for or against God, to make their own choices in life. Divine institution number two is the divine institution of marriage, that is, right man and right woman. Not what is otherwise encouraged today under homosexuality. It is opposite sexes. And is one man, one wife, is the design plan in regards to marriage. In the marriage, the husband is to be the authority over the wife. The only exception where there is equality between the spouses, according to the scriptures. I don't write this stuff. Remember that. I don't write any of this. It's been here way before me. All I'm doing is reporting on it. So if you're a female, take it up with God if you don't like the scriptures, what it says. The male is the authority of the house. The woman is to submit to his authority in all things, as is fitting in the Lord. That is the caveat. Obviously, no one can force one or cause one to sin, to compromise Bible doctrine. You have a higher authority that you can appeal to in that respect. And the only place of equality is in the sexual relationship between husband and wife, where one's body belongs to the other, obviously designed to provide pleasure for both parties in that regards. Divine institution number three is family. Children belong to their parents. Now, our government has taken the stance that that's not always to be the case. But otherwise, that is the way it is. And yeah, a lot of bad things happen to kids because of jackass parents out there in this world. We understand that. You don't think God doesn't know this, see? A lot of that is cursing by association, as God visits in regards to His judgment upon generations. But divine institution number three is family. Divine institution number four, which a lot of Christians don't even recognize, is the divine institution of nationalism. God establishes nations upon the proliferation of man after the flood. He told them to go out, spread out, and create nations in this regards. And that comes into play in regards to the very doctrine we're dealing with, as you had the first attempt of the New World Order under the Tower of Babel. But either way, we'll deal with that when we get there. God establishes boundaries, He establishes times, and the existence of nations. And nationalism is under direct attack in regards to a global endeavor today under the umbrella of the United Nations. Again, President Bush Sr. Flaunted it clearly that the agenda of our country was to pursue an agenda of a new world order under the auspices, recognition, and authority of the United Nations. So, the book of Psalms prophesies that the nations in the last days will engage in a vain thing, a worthless thing, and that is to seek to eradicate nationalism and create an international, one-world, geopolitical, religious society. This falls right into the hands of the Antichrist. This sets up the planet perfectly in regards to the plan for the Antichrist, who will establish himself as the Messiah of the world, and for people to worship him, obviously worship Satan in that regards, and to rule over the world in that vein. And the world will be prepared to buy into this lie essentially from the get-go at the time of the rapture and into Daniel's 70th week. So, a divine institution of nationalism is under attack. That attack obviously correlates with, parallels with, the other attacks, as we've seen going on in our society, the attack on the divine institution of marriage, the attack on the divine institution of family, and all that is designed to attack the divine institution of volition, free will, the right to worship, to believe what one wants to believe. The freedom of worship, freedom of speech is the backbone of freedoms for our society, for our country. As I've stated before, it doesn't make any difference whether you go to church or you don't go to church. The doctrine, the constitutional doctrine in regards to freedom of worship means that you can believe what you want to believe. And if that is removed, the next step, which is an easy step, then is for government to tell people what they need to believe. And they step right into that aspect in regards to their agenda. So these are just things, common sense. This is logic in regards to much of this. So the divine institution of volition is the ultimate to control man in their thinking. It becomes so widespread and so deep in regards to tribulational period that people will fall for this lie and condemn themselves in regard to eternal lake of fire because they will not ever believe for their salvation otherwise in that respect. So you had the divine institutions and nationalism that God created nations. And God is in control in regards to their existence. And he utilizes other nations as well as he has in the past miracles in order to judge nations. And it's his vengeance that will come about while he may use others as his whipping post and tool in regards to bringing wrath. But God is behind it all. See, God's in control of all circumstances and situations. What God doesn't control is your free will. He's a perfect gentleman when it comes to that. In other words, here's the truth of doctrine. You can take it or leave it. That's your choice. See? And he doesn't force anyone to believe in his Son for salvation. That's their choice. But he is otherwise in control of circumstances and situations in life and human history. And obviously, the prophecies in the Bible reveals just how accurate that statement is, as there has been no prophecy otherwise disproved in regards to the Bible, and much of it has been fulfilled up to this point in time in history. In verse 3, I will take vengeance and will not spare a man. For our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, Lord of armies, is his name, the Holy One of Israel. 5. Sit silently and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you will be no more. For you will no more be called the Queen of Kingdoms, who exalts herself as royalty. Verse 6. I was angry with my people. I profaned my heritage and gave them into your hand. You did not show mercy to them. On the age, you made your yoke very heavy. And we can compare all these verses to Revelation 18. Verse 7. Yet you said, I will be a queen forever. These things you did not consider nor remember the outcome of them. The arrogance in regards to prophetic Babylon is that nothing will conquer her. We'll get through this together. See, the whole mentality. Anyway. Verse 8. Now then, hear this, you sensual one, who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am, there is no one beside me. I will not sit as a widow. Hence, there will be no ultimate military destruction placed upon her. Nor shall I know loss of children. 9, but these two things shall come on you suddenly in one day. Loss of children, widowhood. It shall come on you in full measure in one day is 1 hour of one day, as we know from other scriptures. In spite of your many sorceries, all the illusions that are propagated and propagandized in regards to the nation. In spite of the great power of your spells, the influence of money is amazing through this crisis that we're under. How many people, as soon as the government says we're going to give you money, oh yeah, bring it on. Even though it just put our set our country back another how many trillion in debt to the great merchants, the bankers, the people that own this country. And they want to keep on doing it. See, there are those politicians and others that are of the mindset that the crisis is being used in part to hide the problems of the Federal Reserve and that it is getting ready to collapse anyway. So, you know, what better way to do it? But anyway, that's their opinion. I'm just reporting to you what I hear. Draw your own conclusions. Verse 10, and you felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they had deluded you. the academic academia of the importance that's placed upon it. And yeah, we have advanced highly in technology, the space science, things of this nature. We recognize that. But people get arrogant over these things. And they think that they are so smart. Truly probably one of the more hazardous handicaps overcome in regards to doctrine are people that are intellectually in the genius mode and category of life, because they think they know it all. They depend, they rely solely on their academic intelligence to draw conclusions in regards to things. And the Bible makes it very clear, not many of the powerful or wise are truly in step in regards to the plan of God. For you have said in your heart, verse 10, I am, there is no one besides me. No one can touch us. We are the greatest country in the world. That's what Babylon's saying. Verse 11, but evil will come on you, which you will not know how to charm away, how to seduce them, and cause the problem to go away. And disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone, and in destruction about which you do not know, will come on you suddenly. As we saw in other verses, in such a way that it so terrifies the human race, hands hang limp. In shock, in awe. Because once the destruction is released, the demise is imminent. Verse 12, stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries. Sorcery looks at the illusions. Again, my opinion. The big illusion today in regards to our medical crisis is that one disease is causing all these deaths. You get people to believe that, then there you go. Even though there has been shown through medical evidence that this is not the case. But anyway, the sorceries, the spells with which you have labored from your youth, perhaps you will be able to profit. You can merchandise this. Good God, how many people are merchandising the crisis today? Every commercial that you see out of Turn Your Stomach that appeals to the pandemic for our product, that is no different than merchandising the Word of God. You know, the TV preachers went up there, give me money, and I'll tell you how to have a successful marriage through the Bible. You know, that type of stuff. I read someplace that the mention of the COVID-19 thing at the first half, first couple of weeks, in media had been mentioned over 1 billion times in regards to the onslaught of all this. But anyway, I told you I've been warming up for this. You can be blind and go through the test, or you can have the light shine upon it so that you can maintain your sanctity and your stability and recognize when, at least, when things are not the way they're being presented to be according to doctrine and the truth. You are wearied with your... perhaps you will be able to profit, verse 12. Perhaps you may cause trembling. Military might, fear. You get people under fear, you got control. Make them afraid, and you got control. Verse 13, you are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Oh, there are scientists and if you will, fortune tellers. This is what is going to happen based on our plans and the scheme of the agenda set forth in regards to nations. See if they'll come and save you at this point in time. All the people that you rely on, your advisors, see. 14, behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. Fire is the instrument of destruction in regard to prophetic Babylon. Fire that envisions people's faces aflamed. And that points to nothing less than nuclear holocaust. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will be no coal to warm by, nor a fire to sit before. The nuclear winters, etc., that follow. 15, so have those become to you with whom you have labored. You have trafficked with you from your youth. Each has wandered in his own way. There is none to save you. And that recognizes that at this point in time in prophetic Babylon's history, they will be internationally abandoned. All right, so those are the major passages out of Isaiah. The next book is Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah, forewarning them of the imminent this cycle of discipline and dispersion that will occur in 586 B.C. Jeremiah was there around 626 in that era. And Jeremiah deals with prophetic Babylon to a great extent. Jeremiah, as well as Edom. Edom being the secondary code name the Edomites, which was the heritage offspring from Esau that we just went through in Genesis not long ago. Maybe some of you do not know this, but Edom was with Babylon and assisted them in regards to destruction of Jerusalem. In other words, they hired on, if you will, in alliance with Babylon. So they have a history of hostility towards Israel, and they are associated with and correlate with Babylon in that sense. And hence we see this dual, if you will, recognition in regards to prophetic Babylon represented also as Edom, which Edom represents the spiritual corruption. Yeah, that's its emphasis, even though obviously both of them show that. But that's its main emphasis. All right. Just for background, a little background there. Jeremiah 49:7 concerning Edom. And in the doctrine, we'll show you all the parallels. Some of the exact wording between Babylon and between Edom. But anyway, verse 7, concerning Edom, thus says the Lord of armies, is there no longer any wisdom in Teman, capital of Edom? Has good counsel been lost to the prudent? Have you lost your senses? Have you gone stupid on us? That's what he's saying. Has our wisdom decayed? Verse 8, flee away, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the disaster of Esau upon him. At the time I punish him. 9, if grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? If these came by night, would they destroy only until they had enough? Verse 10, but I have stripped Esau bare. Here using obviously the progenitor of Edom, Esau's name, I have uncovered his hiding places so that he will not be able to conceal himself. His offspring has been destroyed along with his relatives and his neighbors, and he is no more. Verse 11, leave your orphans behind, I will keep them alive, and let your widows trust in me. Verse 12, for thus says the Lord, behold, these were not those who were not sentenced to drink the cup will certainly drink it. And are you the one who will be completely acquitted? Somehow you're going to be set free and not have to be part of this? You will not be acquitted, but you will certainly drink it, the cup of wrath that God's going to pour upon prophetic Babylon Edom, if you want to put it that way. 13, for I have sworn by myself, declares the Lord, that Bozrah, I said Teman was capital, Bozrah is actually the capital of Edom, will become an object of horror, a reproach, a ruin, and a curse, and all cities will become perpetual ruins. This looks at the demise of the capital of prophetic Babylon and all this surrounding, state cities from Washington down. Verse 14, I have heard a message from the Lord, and an envoy sent among the nations, saying, gather yourselves together and come against her, and rise up for battle. The conflict, the very demeanor in regards to nations that has been directed towards our nation as the last couple of decades due to all of our meddling in other people's affairs, trying to police the world. And this all comes through economic influence in our political society, in the government. Special interest groups, the great merchants of the world that are, as they are called, often the deep state, those who are influencing corrupt politicians to pass bills, to pursue certain things. If it's about oil, we'll go after the ones that want to go on their own monetary system and won't line up with the Federal Reserve. If you don't know who that is, you do your own research. Whatever. After a while, nations are going to have enough, and there are going to be certain nations that have the power to do something about it. And we know who that is. Verse 15, for behold, I have made you small among the nations, despised among men. Used to be everybody looked up to the United States. Used to be, you went to a foreign country, if any harm came to you, our country would support you 100% and would threaten the nation for the harm that might come upon a U.S. citizen. That went down the tubes real quick. It used to be that way. You got to recognize the culpability of our country and the capitulation in regards to greed, etc., over history, and certain people getting involved in government, bringing us down this pipe. And not the least of this is that while we are to be considered a Christian society, at least to a certain degree still, that society as a whole, according to the book of Revelation, is lukewarm in regards to the spiritual temperature. So, see, all these things play a part. Verse 16, as for the terror of you, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. O you who live in the clefts of the rock, mountainous regions, who occupy the height of the hill, though you make your nests as high as an eagle's, outer space, our space defense program, the new space rangers now that I guess if they endorse, whatever they call them. Verse 18, I will bring you down, verse 16, continue with that. From there declares the Lord. Verse 17, and Edom will become an object of horror. And everyone who passes by will be horrified, will hiss at all his wounds. They'll be blown away by it. 18, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah with his neighbors. That tells you that there is cursing by association that was involved in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, that there were inhabitants that lived close by that also were burned up in that miraculous wrath of God, a fire and brimstone that came upon that society at that point in time, of which the environment was of luscious plains, agriculturally and otherwise, and turned into what is known today as the Dead Sea area. For a reminder, all men that want to promote and set homosexuality up as a standard of life and to embrace it and endorse it and promote it in their society. I don't care what the liberals may say and Christians otherwise regards the Bible teaching against homosexuality. If they say that, then they have not read the Bible or they can't read or they're completely out of fellowship with their own agenda. Read Romans 1 if you don't believe me. The Old Testament also. But anyway. And that vice has been embraced almost worldwide now as being a norm of societies with the exceptions. We know who a couple of those countries are. And you go, how can they be so right and we so wrong? Well, guess what? The tables are turned. Like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah with his neighbors, said the Lord. No one will live there, nor will a son of man reside in it. 19, behold, one will come up like a lion from the thickets of the Jordan against a perennially watered pasture. For in an instant I will make him run away from it, and whoever is chosen I shall appoint over it. For who is like me, and who will summon me into court? And who then is the shepherd who can stand against me? God's in control of history. And obviously, one like a lion is a person of Jesus Christ ultimately. Executes all judgment. He said it in the book of John. All judgment has been given to me. You know, everybody and their believers, Jesus is nothing but a big bucket of love. He is a king of kings and he is the Lord of lords. And yes, he had a ministry of compassion and grace at the first advent. But his political time is not yet. And when that arrives, people will see him truly in all of his righteous glory and justice as he will judge the evil on this planet. And all those who have sought to throw off the yoke of God's plan under the divine institutions otherwise. Therefore hear the plan of the Lord, which he has planned against Edom. Yeah, men are the ones that are instruments that come up with the agendas for war and attacks, etc. But God is ultimately always behind it, whether it's under his permissive will or whether it falls under his directive and overruling will. See, God has will. His will is known as his sovereignty. He is the creator. We are the clay that he created as humans. He created the universe. The big lie in the last days is the doctrine of uniformitarianism, that is evolution. The New Testament prophesies about that. You're talking about false science. It's presented now as a fact. What a bunch of idiots. The bigger idiots are the people that fall for this because they are so lazy intellectually, they will not do their own research. Because they are so negative, they will not study the scriptures to see the truth in regards to these matters. But anyway, all right. Back to it. Verse 20, therefore hear the plan of the Lord which he has planned against Edom and his purposes which he has purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely they will drag them off, even the little ones of the flock. Surely you will make your pastures desolate because of them. The earth has quaked at the noise of their downfall. This nuclear explosion on the continent of prophetic Edom, Babylon, is so great the whole world will feel the impact. There is an outcry. The noise of it has been heard at the Red Sea. All the Arab lilies. Oh no! What now? 22, behold, he will mount up and swoop like an eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah. And the hearts of the mighty men of Edom that day will be like the heart of a woman in labor. Jeremiah 50 and 51. Again, we're reading these verses just to give you an oversight, a review of the things that are described and characterized in regards to this prophetic Babylon and Edom. The word, verse 1, which the Lord spoke concerning Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, through Jeremiah the prophet. Everybody, Christians think, oh, being a prophet is so cool. I brought out, the tradition has it that Isaiah was killed by being sawn in two. That was the reward that his society gave him for standing up for the truth. Everybody just loves the truth, do they not? Nobody's going to be antagonistic towards it. His own people. Look what Jesus' own race, his own nation did to him because they were negative to doctrine. Because they would not believe the doctrine. They had their own, they created their own religion. And they ended up crucifying their very own Messiah. Obviously, there were the exceptions to the rule. But the rule was the majority of Israel remained in unbelief. And hence, God kicked them out of the land for almost 2,000 years until they were readmitted and recognized as a nation again in 1948 under the doctrine of the fig tree. But anyway. Verse 2, declare and proclaim among the nations. Proclaim and lift up the standard. Do not conceal it, but say, Babylon has been captured. Make the news known, and it will be. Again, obviously we're emphasizing one entity, Babylon. Prophetic Babylon Edom. The whole world is going to be judged, ultimately. But there are certain players in the world that are more evil than others. And the judgment that comes upon them is fair and righteous and just. For the evil that they are guilty of. Babylon has been captured. Verse 2, Baal has been put to shame. Marduk has been shattered. All the sexual paganism that is practiced in regards to society. Her images have been put to shame. Her idols have been shattered. Using the language isagogically that translates today in regards to those things that men set up as being more important than God, that they worship in practice, in application, if not in belief, in principle. Money is an idol. Power is an idol. One's pursuits in life can become idols, even though they're legitimate. Otherwise, can become idols when they are placed before the importance of Bible doctrine in regards to one's life. See, things of that nature. Pornography is basically part of our society's fabric today. Everything's pornographic. You can't watch a commercial without seeing some hint of it. That's the time in which we live. That'll test your mettle if you have a trend that direction. Overrule it. Verse 3, for a nation has come up against her out of the north. A nation out of the north. Now, historical Babylon It was conquered by the Medes. The Medes geographically were located north of them. In prophetic Babylon, the enemy out of the north is none other than the bear that is prophesied alongside the lion with eagle's wings in the book of Daniel, that is USSR, as it used to be called, or Russia. It will make your land an object of horror. Verse 7, and there will be no inhabitant in it. Both man and beast have wandered off. They have gone away. At least the beast temporarily. Men, as we know, will no longer inhabit the boundaries of our nation. But it will become a wildlife sanctuary. Good, PETA got a deal. Verse 4, in those days and at that time, declares the Lord, the sons of Israel will come, both they and the sons of Judah as well. They will go along weeping as they go, and it will be the Lord their God they will seek. What occurs spiritually in this time in history in terms of Israel, you're going to have a remnant of positive volition that will manifest itself in Israel. Now Israel, during the tribulational period, politically, it will remain corrupt. And the probability is that the majority of people will remain in unbelief. I mean, Israel embraces the Antichrist. They set up his image in the tribulational temple. But there will be a remnant, a positive volition, those who will reject the ideology of the Antichrist and the evil politicians and government at the time. They're going to be under great stress. And they will become believers and they will line up with Bible doctrine. And based on their behalf is why the Lord intercedes on behalf of Israel. He foresees this. See, God knows who's ultimately going to be positive or negative, even though He does not coerce that volition to engage in what it chooses to be. So, again, a lot of doctrine you got to compute and put together and frame a reference in regards to appreciating all of the innuendos and other side references here. Part of that is probably reference to in Revelation 18, God's people are told to come out of her, out of Babylon, return back to their land. The United States has still probably the largest population of Jewish immigrants on the planet. While a lot of them have returned from other nations, USSR, Russia, other nations, etc., back to the homeland. The United States still boasts some 10 million or so. They don't want to go anywhere. This is where the money's at. And I wasn't being prejudiced when I said that. But, I mean, who wants to lead the good life, see? But eventually they will. When they see that go down, obviously, a lot of heritage for many of these who will be involved at that point in time in history. They see being wasted by God. But they're positive, many of these. 5, they will ask for the way to Zion, turning their faces in His direction. They will come that they may join themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. During this period of time, you have the 144,000 male Jews who are virgins, who are given special protection by God. They will be evangelizing. We read in one of the Isaiah passages that those who are trying to leave this country at this point in time return back to their homelands, which they're commanded to do if they don't want to be part of the destruction, that they're going to have, some of them have a heck of a time getting out of here. So you just take these things to heart. put them in their proper perspective, and watch what's going on around you. It's pretty clear that things are getting prepared, see. At least that's the way I see it. Verse 6, my people have become lost sheep. The everlasting covenant in verse 5 is the new covenant that will come about through the second advent and the establishment of the millennial kingdom. Verse 6, my people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray through their religiosity, their work system for salvation that they were adhering to at the time of Christ. And the religious leaders that took such issue with Jesus in regards to his proclamation of the gospel message otherwise. And they still practice that today. Obviously, you have Jews that we refer to them as Reformed that have become believers, just like you did at that time. But the majority remain in unbelief and practice their mainline Judaism. They have made them turn aside, and those who are in charge as communicators are held responsible for what they communicate in influencing people, just like I am. I know I'm held responsible before God. Everything that comes out of my mouth when I'm on, especially when I'm behind this pulpit. So anyway, they have made the interment site on the mountains. The mountains is symbolic of nations in the Bible. We've already seen that. The dispersion that occurred in 70 AD that lasted for almost 2,000 years. They didn't just go to under the rulership and assimilated in one country like Babylon. They are spread up among all the nations. There's probably not hardly any nation on this planet that there is not a Jewish presence or hasn't been over time. And they've not always been the best neighbors either. But either way, the promise still stands. I'll curse those that curse my people, and I'll bless those who bless them. So, you want to be anti-Semitic? Well, it's your life hanging up there to dry if you want to. They have gone along from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. Verse 7. Verse 7 says, take our break.